This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. Really glad you tuned in today. Happy Thursday to you. Hope you've had a great week so far. Well, we've got an interesting topic for you today. In a moment, I'll welcome to the show novelist Jim Rubart. He's going to talk about his new novel, Soul's Gate, which explores themes of soul healing and spiritual warfare. So here's my question for you today. In what ways has God delivered you from the pain of your past? I asked that question on Facebook, and I have over 30 responses, and so many people, the word, the prayer, my pastor, my husband, giving it to Jesus and letting him have it, refusing to let the enemy hold it against me. Boy, there's just so many, and I want to know that from you as well. In what ways has God delivered you from the pain of your past? Well, here's an excerpt from this excellent novel. We have an enemy whose goal is simple: steal, kill, and destroy. God has a destiny for you, but so does Satan. God wants the fullness of life for us, joy, healing, freedom, the desires of our hearts to be realized. But this kind of life doesn't roll off the assembly line, and I just want to say a big amen to that. It's opposed by a demonic host with a hatred of mankind so fierce, the only thing that can stand against him is the risen Christ. And we have been called to stand in the gap, to raise our swords and fight, to bring freedom and healing and hope to the captives. And friends, I just want to say, if that doesn't stoke your fire, your wood just might be wet. I'm going to get him on in just a second, but I need to tell you about the great giveaway. It started November 19th. It ends December 19th. And all it is I'm sending you out on a mini mission trip. I'm asking you, in the midst of the hustle bustle of the season, can you do the best thing you can with $15? Maybe join with some other friends, match the money, and give to a homeless shelter, or do a babysitting night for somebody, for foster care parents. Get creative, but do the best thing you can with $15. On December 19th, we'll dedicate the whole live show. In fact, all of our shows, our morning, noon, and our afternoon show, to hearing your call. So you're going to come back and you're going to say, this is what we did. This is what happened. This is what God did. And then we're going to give away a couple of gift baskets on each show. So I'm really excited about it. And if you need more information, you go to our website, faithradionet.com, and check out our Facebook page, My Faith Radio, on Facebook, and tell us what you're doing. You can post a little note there if you'd like as well. So as I said, we're talking today about how God delivers us from the pain of our past, how he invites us to engage in a spiritual battle, because it is a battle until we see him face to face. And my guest today is my friend and best-selling author, Jim Rubart. As I said, he's written a book, Soul's Gate, and we're talking about that today. We've got several copies to give away. Let me tell you about him, and we'll get him on the show. Jim Rubart is a professional marketer, speaker, and writer. While being the owner of Barefoot Marketing, certainly keeps him on his toes, no pun intended, his passion is writing fiction. Jim is an ECPA best-selling author who's gotten great reviews by both Publishers Weekly and Romantic Times. His first novel, Rooms, won a Best Books 2011 award from the USA Book News, as well as Romantic Time Book Reviewers Choice Award. He's also a photographer, guitarist, professional speaker, golfer, and semi-pro magician. He lives with his wife and sons in the Pacific Northwest, and you can learn more about him on the web at jimrubart.com. Jim, great to have you back with us again today.
Susie, very fun to be here.
Yeah, well, you know this because you've been on the show a few times. We always start out talking scripture, and oh, I read the one you chose, and it made my heart do a pitter-patter. 1 Corinthians 2:9, and this is what the scripture means when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Jim, talk to us about that passage.
Well, there is so much coming. If with our wildest imaginations, we imagine what heaven's going to be like. I mean, make it as grand and glorious as you can. That falls far short of what we are going to enter into and what Jesus wants to bring us into and what he's preparing for us. And you think about that, that should get you so excited about the life to come and so excited about the life we are in right here and now, because that energizes us and inspires us to try to bring that life to others around us and let the Holy Spirit guide us into circumstances where we can show others, look, this is what's coming. Do you understand? This is what's here right now. And so that's what that verse inspires in me.
I love that. You know, we are called to live with eternity in mind. And so we really need to be thinking in the long term, because what we do here, Jim, doesn't it? It echoes into eternity.
Yeah, it does. And that's a line I love from Gladiator, the movie Gladiator. What we do in life echoes in eternity. I think it more than echoes. It foreshadows.
Yeah.
We are setting up foundations. We are setting up things now that will continue on and grow and be fruitful in eternity.
So good. Well, talk to us about this new novel, Soul's Gate. Tell me about the inspiration behind it, and then give us sort of the storyline.
Yeah, how the inspiration came was when I was writing my first novel, Rooms, which is the story of a man that goes into the rooms of his soul. I thought, what would be the next step? What would be the next logical progression? And as I was writing Rooms, I thought, well, I guess the next step would be for other people to go into people's souls to fight for their healing and freedom. So while Soul's Gate is not a sequel to Rooms, it definitely was inspired by it. And that's really the theme of the book, is what if we could send our spirits into other people's souls to battle their hurts and their wounds and their shortcomings, to fight for their healing and freedom, to do that for each other? Because we do that in intercessory prayer. We'll be praying for somebody and just have, you know, such a strong sense from the Holy Spirit that we need to intervene for them and fight for them and war for them in the heavens. So this is just taking this accessory prayer one step further and saying we could actually go into other people's souls.
And this is a common theme in your books, is healing and freedom and wholeness. And say more about that.
Yeah, everybody, I think, has a sermon. And here's what I mean by that. A friend of mine said to me once, every pastor has one sermon, and he just keeps preaching it over and over again, using different applications and different angles on it. In other words, there becomes this theme of a pastor's life. Well, I think probably the same thing is going on in a novelist. If you look at novelist books, you can kind of say, you know, I see a thread, I see a pattern, I see a theme going through all their books. And for me, what I realized is freedom is my theme. I want people to step into the freedom that is in Jesus. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom's sake that Christ set us free. If you know the Son, you will be free indeed. The truth, Jesus shall set you free. Those are the verses that just resonate with me, and I say, that's what I want to do with my life. Mm-hmm. I want people to be more free whenever they have an encounter with me in person, or in a book, or online, anything. I want them to step into that freedom that's available in Jesus.
Well, how has God done that for you, and how's your life different as a result, Jim?
This is the hard part, Susie, is you have to face some really tough stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You have to face some really tough stuff, and this summer, you know, I think you're always growing, you're always learning, you're always changing, you're always going deeper into Jesus. And I don't know if you've ever had a spot where you go, wow, I'm kind of there. And then you realize, oh, no, there's so much further to go. There's so much further to go. And I had a huge change in my life this summer, really the beginning of June, where I just realized how selfish I was. How incredibly selfish I was, that I was so focused on this career and my books and all this kind of thing. And then all of a sudden the Lord said, Jim, this is certainly not about you, is it? Oh, gosh, I sure hope it's not about you. I hope it's not about your books. I hope it's not even about your message. What it is about totally dying to self. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ that lives in me. And just stepping into that and going, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? What are we doing today? What are we doing today? Okay, I'm ready. What are we doing today? Instead of me getting up and going, okay, let's see, what am I going to accomplish today? Getting up and going, Jesus, what are we doing? What are we doing? And it's just different mindset.
Yeah. You know, my guest yesterday, she chose the scripture from Jeremiah. You know, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And she landed on that first part. She's like, he knows the plans he has. Like, I'm well aware of the plans I have. And we so often try to do our plan and get him to sign off on it. But
yeah,
I love the question,
right?
What are we doing today? And it really is, I love that about God. He's such a loving Father and so committed to us that it is layer by layer, issue by issue. Because if we had to look at ourselves all at once, we would despair of life, I think. You know?
So true.
I mean, I saw things in my boys. I thought, I'm not going to give this to you all at once, but I'm going to a little bit at a time pray for teachable moments, and we're going to poke at that. We're going to touch on that. And it seems that's how he does it with us, isn't it?
Yeah. That's exactly right. He is such, like you said, such a gracious father.
Well, what have been some of the responses from some of your books, since you really go for the jugular, and I like that. Well, how have people responded?
Yeah, it kind of blows you away when I get these responses from people, because as much as, you know, people would say, well, Jim, you're creating all these things, I really don't feel like that. I more feel like I'm a scribe, and I'm recording what is playing in my head, you know, kind of, so it's like God's kind of given me these images and I write them down. So I was telling Darcy the other day, I don't even really feel like I'm the author. I'm more the scribe of these things. And so when I get emails back, it's so cool. You know, I get an email, just finished Soul's Gate. It absolutely blew my mind. I was going through such a huge depression, and I had gone through a divorce, and I'd lost my girls, and I was feeling suicidal. And then, you know, I started reading books like yours, and Soul's Gate has put me onto this path of freedom and healing and growing into who Jesus wants me to be. And you just read that, you go, are you kidding? That I mean, okay, I can die now, because that's what you want to do. You want people to find healing and wholeness and freedom.
All right, here's another excerpt from your book. My friends, we are not in the garden. As much as I like John Lennon, love is not all we need. We are living in the midst of an epic battle that will not end till the new heaven and the new earth are revealed. There are no neutral zones. There is no Switzerland in this fight. And sticking our heads in the sand is not an option. We need to be equipped. That is so powerful, Jim. I want you to say more even about that truth.
Did I write that?
Yes, sir, you did.
Yeah, it's interesting, Susie, because people have said, oh my gosh, this book is kind of, and it's a wild comparison, but they say, hey, this book is like This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti, only taking it up a level, which is just a huge compliment to me, because, you know, I read Peretti growing up. But and a number of people said, this is a spiritual warfare novel. And what surprises me about that is I didn't set out to write a spiritual warfare novel. I set out to write a novel about freedom and how you can find healing, and how you can step into that love that frees you from fears and allows you to take risks. So really, it's a book about freedom. But what I realize is you can't write a book about freedom in Christ without warfare.
That's true.
This freedom is hugely opposed. And like you read the excerpt earlier, you know, we have a thief that is out to kill, steal, and destroy. We do have a prowling lion that's out to shred us. And so you can't do one without the other. And so I'm trying to remember your original question. What was your question?
Well, just to say more, no, about the fact that we need to be equipped.
Yes, that we need to be equipped. We need to realize, and I am not one of those people that there's a demon under every bush. I think there's two extremes, and in C.S. Lewis, I use one of his quotes in the start of the book, where we can either see a demon under every rock, which is ridiculous, or we can say demons don't exist at all, and there is no spiritual warfare. I think the middle ground being balanced and saying, yes, there is. Look at Scripture. What is it about? What does Jesus talk about? What does Paul talk about? Spiritual warfare is a big part of our Christian life, and we need to equip ourselves. We need to read Ephesians chapter 6 and, you know, have those truths soak into us, where we have the shield of faith to put out the arrows, the flaming arrows of the evil one. You know, we have to have the belt of truth. We have to have the helmet of salvation. So we need to prepare ourselves and equip ourselves and say, you know what? Hey, this is just normal. This is part of the Christian life. It's not a big deal. We don't have to get freaked out by it. But the reality is there are angels and demons, and we are in a war. And once people grasp that, I think, once they really realize that that is true, their life is going to make a lot more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, things that happen to you, Susie, either it's you, if there's no demons, either it's you or it's God. And both those alternatives, if something has happened to you, oh, it's me, I just screwed up again, I'm just a jerk, I can't make it. Well, maybe you've had a little attack against you. Is that a possibility? And that'll change your world.
So good. Hey, if you just tuned in today, really glad you joined us. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Talking to Jim Rubart about his new novel, Soul's Gate. He's a best-selling author. We've got three copies. If you're in the mood for a book that's just going to keep you turning the pages, we've got three copies of Jim's book to give away. 877-933-2484. You got to get on the air. And my question for you, unless you've got a question for Jim today, is this. In what ways has God delivered you from the pain of your past? I want you to just testify to what God has done for you, because your testimony will make a difference in someone else's life. And so often, that is the purpose of testimony, is to testify what God has done. And then someone else hears and says, wow, he did it for her. he can do it for me. So we've got three copies to give away, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com, Susie@faithradionet.com. Let's say a little bit more about Ephesians 6 here. We're talking about the shoes of peace, a belt of truth. We dedicated a whole show quite a while ago to these different parts of our armor. You know, we're given these. We have these in Christ Jesus. And yet, Jim, I think so often Christians leave them under their bed because they don't know how to use them. And yet each are so powerful. Like I did a study on the shield once, and there's dunamis power, explosive power. So when we say no to the enemy, there's explosive power in the supernatural realm that he goes basically hurling into space. We have that authority in Christ, but we're no match for him on our own, are we?
We're no match whatsoever on our own. You know, in Acts, where the demons basically say, hey, we know who Paul is. We know who Jesus is, but who are you? You know, and they basically get thrashed, these guys that are trying to cast demons out. And that's where we just go, it is not us. It's not our strength. It's not our intelligence. It's not our power. It's all Jesus. And that comes from what? Surrender. It's no longer I who live. You know, I have died to myself. So it's that surrender to Jesus, and it's stepping fully into him and say, again, like we talked about at the start of the program, what are you doing today, Jesus, in me? How can I step further into that? Mm-hmm. And so you're absolutely right when you say there is such power in the things talked about in Ephesians 6, because Jesus did what? He was crucified. He was resurrected, and he ascended, and he sits at the right hand of the Father with what? All authority, all power subject to him. Well, we are in Christ. We have that same power. We have that same authority. And I think a lot of people are freaked out about demons. And part of Christians probably go, yeah, I know it's real, but I really don't want to face it. The reality is their power, their greatest power, comes through deception and through twisting our thinking. Yep. We need to renew our mind, or in this age of technology, we need to rewire our mind so we think differently. And so, you know, if Christians could just get a hold of that, I think it would change their lives.
Absolutely. And you're thinking, you got the helmet of salvation. You got to live with eternity in mind. You got to renew your mind. You are saved. I mean, if someone gets it to the head and they take a blow to the head, you can't live without your head. And so it's like, right, to know helmet of salvation and the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. I remember as a young mom, so many things in our lives were turned upside down with health issues and financial issues. And anxiety was one of my default places, and I still battle it to some degree, nothing like I did back then. But I was so anxious about my health, thinking I wasn't going to outlive my 20s and someone was going to have to raise my kids. And my stomach was so stirred up. And the Holy Spirit so clearly said to me, I've given you authority, so take authority. And then from Luke 10:19, I've given you all authority over the power of the enemy. And so I just said, right here, right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over this anxiety.
Yeah.
And it was like a light turned on. It was instantaneous. He was under my feet. And, I mean, it was a tangible expression of the authority that God has given us.
That's right.
Powerful.
That's right.
Stuff.
I had an experience. I was getting ready to do a men's retreat, and I was out bouncing on the trampoline with my boys. And all of a sudden, I got hit with such a wave of anxiety, and it was almost like a panic attack. I mean, it was to that degree, and where I was just like, I didn't know what to do, and you know, my breathing came in gasps, and I finally said to my boys, boys, just stay right here. I'll be right back. And I went into this little room I use for prayer in our house a lot of times, and I knew it was just a demonic attack, and I just prayed against that, like you were talking about, just with strength and with his authority. And it was one of those things, it just instantly vanished, just boom, gone. And I'm not saying that sometimes panic attacks don't happen other ways. I realize it's not all spiritual attacks. Sometimes it's medical things and conditions. I understand that. But I think a lot of times in people's lives, they don't even realize they're being attacked. They don't understand that's what it is.
I so agree. I got this picture in my head, Jim, of people walking around, and I've done this myself, and almost like a pesky gnat that just swirls your head, or fly. We wave it away, and it keeps coming back, and we wave it away when we need to stop and say, I reject rejection in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to walk around like I'm this completely rejectable person, you know, or I reject that fear. But we just sort of wave it away, but we have authority to stomp it. And
yes.
Good stuff.
Yes.
877-933-2484. I've got three copies of I'm calling him Jim. Jim Rhubarb.
That's because we're buds.
Yeah. But if you're going to look him up on Amazon, James Rhubarb it is. Title of the book, Soul's Gate. We've got three copies to give away. And if you're in the mood, I thought of Peretti's novel as well, Jim. So it's great. 877-933-2484. We've got Jill calling from Champlin. Jill, welcome.
Hi, Susie and Jim.
Hi.
I have a comment regarding the demons in our lives, and I think that there are periods of time where they can grip you in the deepest, darkest moments of your life. And my example is 7 years ago, my husband died by suicide, and I found him. Our two daughters were in the van at the time, and we had to have the police come, and my pastor and his wife, who are very dear friends of ours, came, and I will never forget. That was the pit of hell, the deepest, darkest demons I've ever felt around me. And my pastor, who is a good friend of ours, said, Jill, you know what? God is right here. And I can vividly remember turning and saying to him, no, I don't know God anymore. I don't know who he even is. And, I was in the pit of hell surrounded by demons that night for a period of time. And I drove myself home that night, and I always had KTIS on the radio. Healing Rain came on, and it was just like God just drenched me in a pouring rain of healing on the way home that night. And I knew that he was there, but for those few hours, I didn't know him. I couldn't even tell you that I knew him at that point. So I think that demons can grip you for periods of time, and I just want people to know that God's light will shine through onto their life again. I can promise them that.
Well, you are downright heroic, Jill. And I wonder, Jim, do you want to say anything to her?
Yeah, Jill, I am inspired by your strength. I am inspired by you, saying, look it, I know this can come against people. I know this kind of thing can happen because I've lived it. But there is light coming. There is light coming. And demons do have power, but compared to the power of Jesus and the power of God, it's nothing. So I thank you so much for sharing that.
And for pressing on and pressing through. Here again, that's exactly what I was talking about. Here's a testimony of someone who's walked through the valley of the shadow of death and saying he is still God. And it's true, too, that when we can't feel him, we can't see him, we must know nothing can separate us from his love.
Right.
Yeah. All right. We got Michelle calling from Ham Lake. Michelle, welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
No, I'm good, thanks. I just was hearing earlier, I had gone through a time when I was in junior high and started dieting, and it got worse and worse and became a eating disorder, and I'd counseled and prayed and just done everything to get rid of that because it had gotten to be where any little gumball or any exercise was just a big deal, and it was ruling me. And I got to the point where I gave up and let God and asked him to please help me. And the verse, I was blind, but now I see, that keeps coming to mind that when you surrender, that you can have that freedom. And I truly feel free now. And I just wanted to say that and just so grateful for his freedom and for him doing it because it was nothing that I did.
You're testifying, Michelle. Thank you. Jim, you want to say anything to Michelle?
Yeah, I love that, Michelle. You're so right. When you surrender it all, there's that old country song, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose. And I think there's some truth in that. In other words, when we lost it all, when we said nothing about me, we do step, there is a freedom we step into when we let it all go. So I love that, Michelle.
Very good. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call before the break. Lynn is calling from Minneapolis. Lynn, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm wondering, in this spiritual warfare battle, how do I, as a mother, help a baby, and the neighbor, help as a baby Christian or a not too seasoned Christian to come back to their spiritual walk because they have fallen away or just plain are in apostasy?
What do you say, Jim?
Well, we used to do this over our kids when they were young. and they'd be asleep in their room, and we would go in there and pray against spiritual things, and we would sense spiritual things. We, with our son, we did sense the spirit of suicide over him at a point, and we went into his room. He's sleeping at this point, so he doesn't even know we're praying. We're praying and breaking those things in the spirit and coming against them. So with somebody that is backsliding or young in the faith or this kind of thing, you can pray for them and pray breakthrough for them, and they don't even know you're praying for them. So the key to this is prayer. The key to this is prayer. And you know, scripture says, if you resist the devil, he will flee. So in other words, we are taking action. We are part of the resistance. It's not saying, God, please, you know, take this away. It's us stepping in and going, we break this by the power of Jesus, by his blood. We break this that is happening, and we pray truth on this person. We pray victory on this person. It's that kind of active participation that I believe really brings breakthrough.
Indeed. In fact, I studied that verse at James 4:7. The first part is resist the devil, and it's so interesting. Or submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee. And submit to God, in translation, is a military term, and it means get back in rank. And don't you feel like that, Jim? When we are out of rank, we give the enemy access. So a huge part of our effectiveness in warfare is submission, as you said, and surrender to God, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Well, we'll take your calls. If you've got more questions or testimonies, we'd love to hear them. I want to know, in what ways has God delivered you from the pain of your past? Because your testimony is going to mean something to somebody else. Talking to Jim Rubart today about his new novel, Soul's Gate. Really, the themes that I'm really pulling out of it are just that deep soul healing that God is after and the call to be engaged in the battle. There are no sidelines, no spectators. This is war. But eventually, we're going to go to heaven and we're going to be forever with Jesus. Love to hear from you, 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email me, Susie@faithradionet.com. More with Jim in just a moment. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my friend Jim Rubart. He's best-selling novelist. His novels are gripping. This one we're talking about, hot off the presses, I think. Well, it's new. It's your newest one. When did it come out officially?
Officially November 6th, so it's pretty...
I'm way off. So you got a sequel coming. But this one is called Soul's Gate, and we're talking about spiritual warfare and just freedom. And that's really on Jim's heart, is that we would know the freedom that Christ died to set us free. Boy, it's amazing. So before the break, Jim, we were talking about the connection. Watchman Nee was the one who said, in order for you to have authority, you have to know how to be under authority. And there's this really real connection about living a life where God has access to us, and that we are submitted and we obey. And then we take authority and we can stand against the enemy. Say a word about that, just your thoughts on that.
Well, you know, if we get out from under that authority, if we are living our lives, then how can Jesus... He lived through us with his purpose. Jesus said, I didn't do anything. I did not do anything that was not the Father, you know, telling me to do this and leading me to do this. And here's a guy that went, and when I guy, I don't say that disrespectfully. I say he was fully man. So he went through the same calls and temptations and that kind of thing we did. He knows. And yet he chose every time. He made the choice to live what the Father was leading him to do, even to the point of death on a cross. I was talking to my son about this the other day. He did not want to die on the cross. I mean, he's going, Father, if you can take this cup from me, take it from me, please. And yet he chose to step into obedience and chose to step into the Father's leading in every moment. Mm. And we can live that life.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's so good.
And there is freedom in that. We can live that life because you have made choices, and I have made choices, and our listeners have made choices at times where we go, wow, that sounds really good, Jesus, but I think I'm going to do this instead. And my question is, does freedom come from that? I don't think so.
Love to hear from you. I'd love to know how has God delivered you from the pain of your past. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. We've got Amanda calling from Iowa. Amanda, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to share my story with what's happened to me and how God's delivered me. And it has, I was in the hospital for brain surgery because I had been diagnosed with epilepsy since I was like 5 years old. And the seizures got worse gradually through time and worse and worse. And I couldn't do my homework. And this was in college. I couldn't do my homework. But eventually, I just got fed up with it. I had 3 kids. I couldn't take care of them. So I went and decided to do this surgery. And as I was sitting in the hospital, it was 2 weeks, and they hadn't had a seizure that they were looking for. And I had a grand mal seizure that just totally shook me. I mean, I was conscious through it, and I had never been before.
Mm.
And I was so scared. I called my grandma after it and said, they're going to put me back together and send me home. There's nothing they can do. And she said, go to the back of your Bible and find a topic and read up on it. And I did, and I remembered hope, I think. But it was either Psalm 32 or 23 that I started, and it just all fell, and it just, like, sunk in. It's like I had never understood it such as that before, but the nurse came in and asked, she says, is there anything we can get you? And I said, at the top of my lungs, I just cried out. I said, Jesus is the only one that can fix this for me. Mm. And it wasn't like maybe 45 minutes after all that they came in and said I was having a seizure, and I didn't even feel it. And 5 minutes after that, I had another one, and they found what was causing it. And I had my surgery 2 days later, and 4 days after that, I went home. And I haven't had one since.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's just,
Amanda,
my life has so changed.
Mm. Wow. Thank you for sharing. Wow, Jim, do you want to say anything to her?
Well, yeah, Amanda, you know what strikes me about your story is I love that you were totally uninhibited. In a hospital room, you knew people were going to hear you, and you were just like, Jesus is the only one that can heal me. I just love the boldness of that and stepping out and not worrying about what other people think. In that moment, your life was not your own. That was a cry of surrender, and I just love that.
Mm, that is so good. And for her to call and testify, just last night I heard a message. The guy was talking about the lepers, that the 10 that were healed, and only one came back. And he says, I want you to see the passion with, not only did he come back, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and said, oh, thank you. And I thought, what a picture. It's the same kind of a spirit you see with Amanda's story. Amanda, thank you. Gal, that's just beautiful. Well, we've got an email from, it's Houa, Hua Xiong, I think I'm saying the name. Hi, Susie. I hope this gets to your inbox and the right one, since this is my first time tuning into your radio show. I was in a car accident that left me injured with chronic pain and still considerably young, sunk me into depression, and the depression has gotten deeper and deeper, even mental. Would not help me through it. I had to turn to the Lord for the help that only He could heal. I would love to get a copy of this book and hope there's still a copy left. Thank you for your time. God bless you. I wonder, Jim, if you wouldn't mind praying for that friend. It's Hua, I think. But would you pray for them?
Yeah, I would love to. Jesus, you have eternity and time and lives, all our lives in your hands, and you know the comings and goings of eternity. You know the comings and goings of plans and what fruit will come out. Yes, what fruit will come out of even the pain that Hua is in. And Lord, I pray that you would give him the fruit of peace and comfort and the perspective of eternity even as he goes through. And I pray, Jesus, you would fall on him with joy and with freedom and healing in his inner man. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that. So we're taking calls today to find out, to hear from you. In what ways has God delivered you from the pain of your past? Love to hear from you. Unless you've got a question for our guest, feel free to ask that as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Otherwise, email Susie@faithradionet.com. Okay, Jim, tell us about your protagonist here. His name's Reese. Tell us about him and how he fits into this story.
So Reese is a fascinating character to me because he walked powerfully with the Lord 30 years ago. I mean, really did some amazing, miraculous, powerful things. And then the enemy came against him and did really destroyed his life by taking the lives of some people very close to him. And that just backed him off. He stepped off the playing field and he said, I'm not engaging anymore. I just can't take this. I can't do it. And yet God has now in current day a plan to bring him back in. And there's been a prophecy that was spoken over Reese 30 years ago. And now that prophecy is starting to come true. And he realizes, I can't stay off the field anymore. I got to step back onto the field and engage, because the prophecy is that I will train these four people to step into the same type of powerful things I used to do. So while he is training them, he's also going through the healing of his own deep wounds and deep regrets. So it's a powerful story arc for him.
Mm, that's so good. You know, I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, what I hear as I travel around the country and speak at these different conferences, the angst of leaders to say, our people, we love them, but they're so apathetic. You know, and it might be because of wound, but it might be because of passivity. But so many sit as spectators when we need them on the field. We need them engaged. And what is the ripple effect and the cost even of us not engaging and as you said, not choosing in the beginning when I read that excerpt that this there's no neutral zone. What's the ripple effect of Christians trying to find a neutral zone?
Oh, it's so, Susie, it's so sad and it's so detrimental, because I truly believe that our lives ripple out. And you will not know that radio show you did 2 years ago when you said one line. You stepped out and risked to do this radio show in the first place. You might have stepped out and thought, oh, I'm not sure if I really can say this, and you were vulnerable and you said it. Well, that rippled out to one of your listeners, and that rippled out to somebody else, and that rippled out to somebody else. Mm-hmm. Jesus makes it very clear, a cup of cold water counts. I mean, you give a cup of cold water to somebody, he notices that for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, oh, my gosh. So if I'm just sitting there passively and I'm too scared to step out and say something or do something or engage, boy, you're preventing those ripples from going out. And I think one of the things that prevents us, and this is I would call this a spiritual attack. One of the things that I think prevents people from stepping out is, who am I? I don't have anything to offer. I'm a nobody. I don't have any special gifts or special skills or special talents. And that is such a lie, because everyone is made uniquely different. And in Christ, we are all part of this body that needs to function.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite sayings is, it is extremely difficult to read the label when you're standing inside the bottle. And I don't think most people realize what their label says. I was just talking to Darcy about this last night, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you are such a light to people. Darcy walks into a room, and immediately, just by who she is, she feels people feel inspired and uplifted and loved. And it's like she doesn't see that because she's inside.
Mm.
And so I think a lot of those people sitting on the sidelines, I want to say to them, you don't realize how powerful you are, do you?
Mm.
Step out into what Jesus has for you.
And I love the ripple effect, and the ripple effect that's not happening if we don't step out. Someone once said 1,000 people are waiting on the other side of our obedience. And you think about that, the ripple effect of that. The two things, Jim, God's been talking to me about are that Scripture says that His Spirit makes us competent ministers of the gospel. And when Jesus says, go make disciples of men, He sends us out. And we say, you know, that's for the teachers. That's for the person with a doctorate in theology. He says, no, you. Go.
Right.
And so I like the idea that Reese is raising up four people. There's somebody we can learn from and somebody we can impart to and teach. And we all need to engage, and we're needed in this day. All right, we've got somebody waiting on hold patiently. I want to hear from you. In what ways has God healed and delivered you from your past? Otherwise, you feel free to ask Jim a question as well. 877-933-2484. Susan is calling from Minneapolis. Welcome, Susan.
Hi, Susie. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for being so patient.
Oh, you're welcome. I just wanted to share something, a medical issue that I think maybe it has been healed, but I'm not, I don't have any way of knowing for sure. But 3 years ago, I was diagnosed with metastatic or advanced ovarian cancer. Mm. And at the time that my cancer was discovered, there was a presence that I felt. It was a very good presence that was surrounding me, just as I felt that I was going to be taken and stolen out, you know, and tossed out into the universe somewhere. And so I felt these two opposing forces fighting for me, and I really felt that it was God just trying to keep me there within myself and telling me that I wasn't going to be going through this alone. My prognosis was supposed to be that I was on the gold standard for treatment, and my prognosis was 16 months from the end date of my treatment. And so that put me at January of 2011. And here I am 3 years later, and I have not recurred yet. My five-year prognosis is only 20%. And I do a lot of speaking about this disease to various women's groups. And every time I give my story and I tell people, I start to tell them about my prognosis, I sense this, I kind of get this feeling that maybe I shouldn't say that, because that's not necessarily, I'm not necessarily going to recur. I mean, it's like somebody is saying to me, be careful what you tell them, you know, because you're not going to, you might not recur or something. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know whether that is, you know, God reassuring me or if that's, you know, the enemy trying to just deceive me. I don't know, but it's amazing that I'm still alive after 3 years without recurrence.
Hmm. You know, Susan, I'm going to let Jim speak to this too, but one thought that comes to me in Proverbs, it says that the words of our mouth will reward us as surely as the work of our hands. And I do believe with all my heart that there's huge power in our words. I hope you don't hear me say I'm not a name it, claim it type of person, but I very much believe that our words need to be in agreement with Scripture. And so maybe he's nudging you to say something that's true, but with the truer truth of Scripture girding you up. Do you know what I'm saying? That I will not die. Scripture says, I will not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. This is what the doctors say, and this is what God's Word says, and so I'm camping here. Maybe something like that. Jim, do you have thoughts?
Yeah, only one thought, and I don't mean this to be morbid. I mean this to be freeing when I say that all healing is temporary.
Yeah,
all
that's a good point.
Because we're all going to die at some point, and who knows when. And so at this point, you have been healed. And so I would say, talk about that boldly. God has healed me for this moment. And maybe it's only this moment. Maybe tomorrow I die. But for this moment, glory to you, Jesus, because you have brought me to this place of being able to speak to you today. So I'd speak out boldly.
Very good. Thank you. I want to grab a call from Alan from Hastings. Give you the phone number real quick, 877-933-2484. We probably have time to take probably five more minutes to take calls, 877-933-2484. Alan, welcome.
Hi.
Hey.
I was wondering, how do you respond if someone is submitted to the Lordship of Christ and they're born again, they feel like they're doing all that they can, and they're praying and they're walking with the Lord, but yet they still have the mental torment and they just don't feel the blessings of God, and how do you respond to that? Is that spiritual warfare going on, or is that What is a person to do? Is there something to, I mean, how do you know that you're submitted? I mean, it just seems like, I don't know. I just have so many doubts and so many things on a day-to-day basis that I just don't understand.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that question so much. Go ahead, Jim.
Alan, a great question. Really good, because I think a lot of people go through exactly what you're going through. So first of all, I'd say you're not alone. Second of all, I'd say there are a lot of times these type of things are spiritual warfare. Sometimes they're just chemical conditions that need to be medically treated. So I'm not saying everything's spiritual warfare. I don't think everything's medical. I don't think everything's emotional. That's one of the things you pray and you ask Jesus, hey, what is going on here? And we haven't really talked about that, but I'm one of those people that still believes the Holy Spirit speaks to us today, very specifically. But let me give you some practical things from my own life and my wife's life. How do you know you're submitted? says in Scripture that we are to clothe ourselves with Christ. We are to put on Christ. We are put on his yoke. And so I do that almost on a daily basis, where I wake up and I say, Jesus, I choose to clothe myself with you today. I choose to come under your authority. So it's an active choosing. The second thing is, in Romans 12, it says we need to renew our minds. You know, and how do we do that? Let me give you a very practical way. And my wife actually showed me this, and I love it. When she goes through Scripture and she's studying Scripture, what she does is she has these 3x5 cards, and she writes down a Scripture that made an impact on her. So maybe she'll get 3 a day. Well, she's got this huge stack of cards now that she goes through, and she goes through the cards, and she reviews the cards. Every 3 hours she'll do this. So she's constantly putting truth into her mind, because the reality is, I believe, the enemy is constantly suggesting lies to
her.
That's
right.
Mm-hmm. We need to rewire our mind, and that's a very practical way to do it.
Thank you. That's going to say the same thing. Renewing your mind and meditating on his word, it's a supernatural thing. Jim, I don't know if you're moving every once in a while. When you move, it sounds like you get to a certain pocket where we can barely understand you because it gets muffled, but for the most part, you've been clear. So there's just been a few spots like that. So I'm not sure if you're crawling under the table, but don't do it anymore. No.
Okay. All right.
I totally kidding you. Okay, we have time for one more. 877, I can say that to Jim, right, Jim? You can take a good
boundary. Yeah, absolutely.
877-933-2484. One more call here. Jamie from St. Paul. Welcome, Jamie.
Hello, Susie. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you, sir?
Great, great. Once again, just want to say thank you and bless you for the show that you have.
Mm.
And bless you also, Jim. This is a very... very close issue to my heart, because I've been dealing with it for quite a while. Lots of lies being, put into my head. And as a male, you try not to, discount your thoughts and, how you judge your feelings and how things go. And so the lies that have been just pouring into my head, even as a boy, recently just have dug a lot harder into the spiritual warfare, and I applaud you both for the tools, sharing the tools to people, and just there's a lot in there, and there's so much in there, and just for my own, sake, is that the lies have stopped, and so I'm starting to see more and more truth, and I can't tell you the freedom that I've had from that, and especially right now, I'm going through a storm in my marriage, and just the opportunity that the enemy has just to pour all kinds of lies, and just bearing down on the tools, on the armor of God, that that has helped me tremendously.
Oh, Jamie, bless you, and Jamie is making a good point here, Jim, and you make it in the book that this does require our engagement. And as I read in that first excerpt, this isn't something that is delivered to us on an assembly line. We have to take up our stand. We have to take our thoughts captive. We've got to put them under our feet, say a word about that whole renewing mind process. In fact, we really need to do a whole show on it, because it is a game changer. I mean, you heard it said over and over again, the battle is won or lost in the mind. Say a word about that.
Yeah, Susie, you are so right. We have to take active steps. And often we operate on emotion, but emotion follows action. We need to choose to take the right step. And Jamie's talking about his marriage. Sometimes in your marriage, you go, you know what? I know the right thing to do, but I don't want to do it. Well, most of the time, the emotion of wanting to do it is not going to happen until you do step in and do it. And so I think from a very practical sense, we got to say, okay, these are the things I need to do on a daily basis. I need to spend time in the Word, because if I don't, I get taken out, or the lies start coming in. So, yes, we have to be active.
Another thing, too, is what my mentor has told me over and over again, just because something feels true doesn't mean it is true. And for me, it was literally a part-time job renewing my mind, because I realized what a rogue thought life I had. And so I was like, I had to cancel all my plans to be miserable, because I was like, I'm busy. But it was truly like going, that feels true, but I'm not going there. Just by an act of my will, I am not going there. And it was totally against the grain of my flesh, but it was the only way healing could come. It's this amazing
thing. Yeah, that's the right. It's the only way healing can come. Somebody told me this, and I loved it. It's so simple, but we imagine things in the future that are going to go wrong. They haven't happened yet, so it's just our imaginings. And my friend said to me, tell you what, why don't you, since you don't know if it's going to go good or bad, why not imagine it's going to go good?
I like
and,
that.
And it's something as simple as that is, well, yes, I have an imagination. Why don't I use it in that way?
And, you know, because Scripture does say that he can and is able to do above and beyond all we could ever dare to imagine. Above and beyond, this is a good thing, you know?
Yes.
So we just have a couple minutes left, and I want to give you a chance to talk about your next two novels in this series. So what is coming next?
Yeah, so in Soul's Gate, these four main protagonists, they step into this amazing freedom. They're deep healing in their souls. And in the next book, they start extending this healing to others. So my next book coming out in July is called Memory's Door, where they kind of take this training that Reese has given them and take it beyond. But I will say it's not easy. One of my protagonists has to face the greatest regret of his existence. It's a secret he's buried so far down. He doesn't even really, you know, admit it, and yet it comes out. The enemy brings it out for his harm, and yet God brings it for good. So I think sometimes the things we're most ashamed of, the things that we hate to admit the most, God can use those things actually to bring about the greatest healing and greatest freedom in our lives.
Boy, that is such a critical point, Jim, because the enemy has us convinced, I can't bring this to light because it will hold me captive. And the other side of that is true. I want to hold you captive, so let's keep this in the dark. And
right.
Boy, so important. So is that the second one, or is that the second and the third one there you just said?
So that's the second one.
Okay.
I just turned in the second one. The third one, I have no idea what's going to happen.
we got to come back and talk about number two, and then maybe we'll have our listeners give you some thoughts of, you know what I mean? Just give you some thoughts
on
what
I should do for number three. You bet.
Yeah. pretty interesting. Well, as we get ready to wrap up here, this has been great. We're never with a shortage here of things to talk about when you're on the show. I appreciate that so much. But I'm thinking of that person listening today who longs to be delivered from that shame, the pain, the regret of their past, and really wants to come into a new place with the renewal of their mind and the renewal of this next year. So would you pray for that person?
Yes, yes. And can I read something?
Please.
Can I read something, Susie? That And I think this is so powerful. And then I'll read it and I'll tell you who wrote it. Wasn't me. The old religious image of a vindictive, mean, and jealous God gives way in Jesus to the God of faith, who cherishes people, all people, and has made his abode with them. Jesus presented a God who does not demand but gives, does not oppress but raises up, does not wound but heals, a God who forgives instead of condemning and liberates instead of punishing. Woe to them who demand, oppress, wound, condemn, and punish in his name. It can only be said, they do not truly know him.
Mm. Wow.
What God longs for us. He longs to love us. Here's the whole gospel, Susie, really quick. Here's the whole gospel. Jesus loves you with an unquenchable, unending love.
That's your prayer.
Yeah.
Bless you. Bless you. Well, I want to leave you with this passage from Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord and forget not his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion, and he satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Ours is a redeeming God. He intends to bring life, wholeness, and healing to you. Really pray today's show blessed, challenged, and encouraged you. Great show today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. You can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. Give us a couple minutes and the podcast will be up. Share it with a few friends with a click of a button. Tomorrow I'll be talking to Jim Martin with International Justice Mission. You know they're an organization very dear to my heart. Among many other things, one of the things I love most is that they go rescue young boys and girls out of human trafficking and get them in a place of healing and wholeness. Tomorrow we're talking about his book, The Just Church. They're inviting us to engage in this good fight. That is tomorrow on Live the Promise. And finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.